You are tuned to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548. And tonight we are carrying on with our topic on talaq, separation, divorce. Those are the words that relate to talaq. And inshallah, Mufti Sahib will be talking to us in a few moments on this aspect of talaq, which forms a very integral part of our deen. And it is also something that we got to be aware of. Many a times we hear the word divorce and we feel that why should this happen? And these things are a reality in society. It has become rife in our society as well, and therefore an important aspect which we have to cover. And before we go on and speak to Mufti Sahib on this topic, and you can call into the studio on 854-6854, the number 854-6854, or fax us on 854-702405, or if you have email available, you can email us on radio.islam@pixie.co.za. With me tonight is Maulana Mahmoud Yaqub, who will be taking calls for us in engineering, and I am Yusuf Asmaji. Before we go on, I'd like to read a little bit from a kitab which says Discourses on Islamic Way of Life. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hazrat Muawiyah bin Hayhida radiallahu anh has narrated that he asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, what are the rights of our wives over us? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when you take food, feed her also, and when you wear clothes, provide her also with clothes to wear. Do not beat her on the face, nor curse her. Do not part with her, but only within the bounds of the house. The learned jurists have explained the meaning of this tradition also by advising that on such occasions her bed may be separated, but the talking terms should not be terminated totally. The separation should not be so strict as not to offer salutations to each other from time to time, and not to return the greeting if one bids it, nor to avoid answering important questions. A separation of this kind is not lawful. Yes, we can see that in today's times when these problems face us, it's always a legal matter. It always becomes an ugly matter. And we always blame each other instead of looking for a solution and looking for a way forward. And clearly from these few words we hear that we should not take such actions which causes harm to the next. Yes, we are talking talaq, and you can call us with any of your problems relating to this topic on 854-6854, or fax us on 854-702405, or if you have email, you can email us on radio.islam@pixie.za. And I'd like to welcome Mufti Ilyas to our studios and thank him for spending his time with us. Assalamu alaikum, and how are you, Mufti Sahib?
Wa alaikum assalam.
Mufti Sahib, inshallah, maybe you can start off with a brief background, a brief introduction to the topic we are discussing today.
Firstly, the topic that we are discussing concerning talaq, divorce, we must realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Islam, and Islam is complete. Islam is perfect, and Islam is easy, and Islam is natural. That is why in its completeness the institution of talaq, divorce, also lies. There are other groups wherein if there is marriage between the husband and the wife, and due to some valid reason there is no compatibility, then they have to stay. They cannot divorce or they cannot separate. But Allah Azza wa Jal has given us a very easy and complete deen, that perchance if there is a couple, husband and wife, and after trying their married life, they say, no, there is no compatibility here, they cannot live together. And when I say after trying, I mean after real effort of trying. Not unfortunately what we hear these days, that due to petty reasons, unfortunately, today the husband divorces the wife. And when we analyze them in the various Jamiat offices and the various welfare organizations, we come to know of cases that over silly issues, petty matters, and which matters can be resolved, unfortunately, the young man, not understanding the life and consequences of life, he just stands up in rage and divorces his wife. These programs that we intend having now, firstly, I will not go immediately into the law, the jurisprudic law of divorce, but I would like to give some brief advices, blanket advices, so that those who are having difficulties can have a way forward, a solution as how to resolve their difficulties, their problems. Firstly, I would like to mention that in the light of Shariat, talaq has been described in the hadith as the most detested of the permissible actions. Because as I explained, Allah has given us a complete deen. Otherwise, if there was no institution of divorce and talaq, then a person had to live with his wife and bear with his wife, and after that he will take mistresses and he will be going around. But Islam has given us a way out, that for those couples who are not compatible, the institute of divorce lies. However, in the light of hadith, that this is most detested in the sight of Allah. Hence, we should use it as a last resort. Divorce, talaq, should be the last thing a person, a husband, a sensible husband, must think about. And he must not be influenced by his surroundings. Generally, we come to know that there is always in the husband-wife difficulties interfering from the in-laws, from both sides. And in-laws supposed to be there, whether it is the husband's in-laws or the wife's in-laws, the in-laws supposed to be there to cement the relationship, not to cause difficulty, problems, and to escalate and put fuel into the fire. And one problem we find is that the respectable mothers of the age, they bring up their sons in cotton wool. And as a result, when this young man decides to get married, then he marries, but still he has got strings attached. And now he is caught in the crossroads, that his mother is saying something, his wife is saying something, and the in-laws have become outlaws. As a result, this youngster, unfortunately, because he is brought up in cotton wool, he cannot make a decision for himself. When he cannot make a decision for himself, then he begins to fight. He begins to quarrel. He begins to abuse. And he begins to revolt. And he begins to create an atmosphere not conducive to harmony and cooperation in the house. Why? Because unfortunately, some respectable mothers bring up their sons very with a golden spoon in their mouth, providing them with everything. So when this youngster gets married, he has little difficulty, he immediately runs to his parents, to his father, to his mother, giving them difficulty. Instead of being a man, standing on his feet, stabilizing himself, looking at the whole picture, and trying to resolve the caravan of life. But no, he is always leaning on someone else. So the mothers must teach their children, whether they are boys or girls, young teenagers, that they will have to get married. They will have responsibility. They'll have duty. Another difficulty we have is that there is no advice and counseling given to the person who is going to become a husband or the person who is going to become a wife. Absolutely, there is no advice from any quarters that, listen, that you are going to get married and these are the difficulties of life, these are the ups of life, these are the downs of life. Alhamdulillah, now we are getting literature on the market available in the English language, wherein suitable advices have been given to the bride, to the bridegroom. In this way, the person should learn. People get married, they don't even know what they're going in for. They don't understand the responsibilities. They do not understand, the husband does not understand the responsibility towards his wife. The wife does not understand the responsibility towards her husband. The husband and the wife jointly do not understand the responsibility towards their in-laws. As a result, that this youngster is going into the marriage contract, and we do not unfortunately regard this as a contract. We think, okay, we're going to get married, whereas this is a contract. Just as recitation of the kalima is a contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that getting married, the husband must realize, I'm getting into a contract, a legally binding contract. The wife must also realize this, that I am getting myself involved in a legal contract. So, however, that if there is no compatibility and there is difficulty, problems, then there is a way out. And the way out is talaq. At the outset, before I forget, that we all know that the husband has the right of divorce. And he has got three so-called live bullets in his gun. Now you must understand this analogy that I am drawing. I am saying that this husband, this Muslim husband, has got three live bullets in his gun. And when he fires it, then it will go and it will reach the target. So irrespective of what condition his wife is in, the bullet will reach her and it will be counted. Here I would like to mention, before I go into all the details, which will take some time and it will also go into next session also, that do not exercise all three talaqs. At any time, first of all, at any time when there is difficulty or problems, don't say talaq. Do not say divorce. Go and consult. Go and make mashwara. I will tell you now who to do this mashwara with, how to go about it, what steps to take. Because I've mentioned clearly that talaq, divorce, is the last resort. Not what we have made talaq a fun and a plaything like game. In those days, 10 years ago, if there was a talaq in the Muslim community, there was an uproar in the community. These days, unfortunately, daily talaqs are taking place and we do not even bat an eyelid. Worse is when three talaqs are given. Respected listeners, I must emphasize 2 points. One is, talaq is the last resort. Secondly, that if a person has to give talaq, there is no other way out, there is no other solution, then please do not issue three talaqs. Because the work of separation, or the function of separation, and the result which one talaq can give, three talaq can also give. So why use three bullets? Why use three talaqs when the work can be done with one talaq? So I emphasize and I appeal to you that if you know of people getting into difficulty, or if you yourself are in difficulty and problems, please do not issue talaq. And if this is a last resort, only one talaq. Because the end result is the same, separation. But by giving one talaq, there is room for negotiation. there is room for reconciliation. There is room for discussion. We are leaving the door open, we're leaving the whole door open that the families can get together, that the husband and the wife can get together. But when you issue three talaqs, the seed becomes ugly, the fighting starts, the quarreling starts, and there is so much difficulty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our creator, He is our nourisher, He is our provider. He has created us, He understands us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated clearly in the Quran Kareem that if there is non-compatibility between the husband and the wife, then the husband must admonish his wife, advise his wife, discuss, deliberate. One of the results, or one of the causes, major causes, is lack of communication. The husband and the wife are not talking. The wife is not able to communicate with the husband. And the husband is talking to everyone besides his wife. And the wife is discussing her whole problem in the entire locality and relatives besides the husband. Rule one is that if there is some dispute, if there is some misunderstanding, then the husband and the wife should discuss it in privacy. And if there are children, and unfortunately then misunderstanding results, here there is a golden rule that you have to abide by it, that the husband and the wife must never discuss their difficulties, the problem, or the misunderstanding in front of their children. What has happened in this age, that the children are now involved in the fight. The children are brought into the quarrel. And when we sit and we analyze, then unfortunately you have to bring in the children as witnesses. These children who do not understand the reason for quarreling and why the father and the mother are in difficulty, they unfortunately are dragged into the fight. Why? Because the husband and the wife were fighting in public, meaning they were fighting in their house, openly in front of their children. Then the people say that our children are traumatized, or our children are psychologically affected. Why? Because the husband and wife, when they begin to raise their voices, firstly, in front of the children, then the children will lose respect for their father and mother. Then what eventually happens, unfortunately, that the matter goes ahead and the whole issue becomes physical. Unfortunately, the husband may beat his wife up. Or in this age, it's also happening, we're getting cases where the wife beats the husband up. And the poor children are listening and looking. And what happens that you get cases, putting it lightly to you, you get unidentified flying objects in the kitchen. The saucers are flying around, the pots are flying around, spoons are flying around, and then the knives are coming out. And then what happens? That the fight comes onto the street. When it comes onto the street, then the neighborhood knows that so-and-so is fighting with so-and-so. Let alone that, the husband phones and the wife begins to call. So the relatives are dragged into the fight, which is supposed to be solved like sensible, good, mature Muslims behind closed doors. That fight, or that misunderstanding, or that lack of communication, supposed to be sorted out in the room, has gone to the kitchen, has gone to the dining room, in front of the children, eventually it comes via the telephone line to the relatives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, firstly, admonish. So the husband, if he finds his wife at fault, then he should advise. He should admonish. And when you admonish and advise, then you don't do it like a dictator. Because if you're doing it like a dictator, then you rather keep quiet. Because at the end of the day, that is your wife. You will have to talk to her. Talk to her decently, properly, in a civilized manner. And express what you do not like, and express what you like. And when the husband and the wife exchange this, that what we like and what are the dislikes, then there can be some compatibility. These days, unfortunately, divorce is given without giving it a try. That is why the rate of divorce has increased so much. First of all, the husband expects too much, and the wife also expects too much. So in the initial stages and initial days of marriage, all this has to be outlined. That what are the limits? The limits of spending, the limits of expenditure, the limits of living, the style of living. And remember that if a person has firmly resolved in the marriage to please Allah and to conform to the way of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that marriage inshallah will work no matter how difficult the case is, no matter how difficult or shortage of wealth or finance there is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly says there should be advising, admonition going. Secondly, if there is such a dispute that now advising and admonishing has failed, then the separation of beds should take place. That the husband should stay away from his wife. As Brother Yusuf read out, that this does not mean now breakdown in communication, or no negotiation, or no discussion, or no deliberation. No, they're just separation of beds so that they can be time to reflect, so that there can be some time to reflect how we can negotiate, how we can deliberate, how we can discuss and sort out this problem and resolve this problem. Unfortunately, what happens here, that no separation of bed takes place, but every other second person is called in and phoned, come, I've got a problem, come, listen to this, my wife is troubling, oh, my husband is troubling, and my husband is doing this, my wife is doing this. So instead of resolving it in the prescribed manner as stipulated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we unfortunately utilize the wrong route. Then thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there should be some light beating. Here, there is gross misunderstanding of this ayat. Light beating does not give the husband a blanket authority that now he must pick up one very heavy wood and hit her, or even to hit her on the face, or even to smack her on the face, or even to punish her on the face. No such thing. And the Orientalist and those who are to try to find fault with Islam, they capitalize on this. And they say, yes, Islam says that the husband must beat up the wife. And when they say beat up, then they mean how they beat their wives up. And most of those who object to this are those who severely beat up their wives. Yeah, it's talking about light beating. And very simple light beating, not on the face, not to injure, not to harm, not to break any part of the body, not to beat so much that the wife has to go to a doctor or a surgeon. No such thing. Then, respected elders, I would like to say very clearly that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in the hadith in Abu Dawud that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised, perform nikah, but do not give talaq, because the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala vibrates on the issuing of talaq. Hazrat Sauban radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whichever woman demands talaq from her husband without any valid reason, the fragrance of Jannah becomes haram upon her. Yea, Allah's Nabi is advising the husbands that marry, perform nikah, but don't give talaq. Because the talaq vibrates the throne of Allah, showing the severity of the issue of talaq, that we should not regard this issue lightly. That this talaq issue is a serious issue. It has got repercussions. And by just merely uttering it, then there are consequences. So, the natural cause of action, if there is a dispute, first of all, we have stated that the matter must be resolved in the room, not in front of the children even. And what happens, unfortunately, these days, that the children are brought in, either by the husband and the wife, to spy. That the husband, he wins over some of his children, and he brings them into this political arena of dispute. And he carries favors with them, and he says, you must spy on your mother. Or the wife does this, and she gets some of the children on her side. So instead of the quarrel or the dispute being limited to the husband and the wife, then the children now are divided into parties. And the children are taking sides, making the matter worse. That is why the scene becomes so ugly that we have children weeping on all sides when we are trying to resolve the issues. So, first of all, to admonish, to advise, separate the beds, but keep the door of negotiation open. Then, when we have nikah ceremonies or when we have nikah performed, we notice that alhamdulillah, everyone is ready to sign the nikah book. In the masjid, you notice that people are waiting with pens in their pockets, waiting, I also must sign this nikah. Especially if that nikah is of some wealthy person or some wealthy people around. Then everybody wants to sign the nikah book. And we have come to know that when so-and-so was not given the book to sign, that he got very upset about it. That I was in the gathering and they never bring the book to me to sign, for me to sign. And they still let the other person sign. And they did not see me. What happened to that person? He cannot see, I'm sitting there. And he did not get me the book, so I can sign. Respected elders, now listen. That when the husband and the wife are quarreling, then one method is, those who are the witnesses of that nikah, and were the wakil of the nikah, and the alim who performed the nikah, call them in now. Now they must come in now. Because they were witnesses to this nikah, and they signed that book. So now they must come in to resolve the dispute, to solve the difficulty, and to find the solution why so and so and so and so are not able to live in peace and harmony. And those who willingly and happily signed that book, call them in. Now is the time. Unfortunately, I have to use the word, now is the time to come to the party. Because you signed, and you were feeling proud you signed that book. Now there is difficulty. Now you have to render your services, exert your talent, exercise your wits, find some solution to this difficulty that is going on. And the husband, he should get 2 mahrams. And the girl get 2. So that they can sit and resolve the issue. Remember, we are advising clearly, no mention of talaq, no mention of divorce. If the husband and the wife are quarreling, then it is advisable, if they cannot stay under one roof, and the quarrel has reached such a level that there is too much of fighting, then better that they even separate. The wife can go to a house for a few days, so that the storm may calm down, the dust may settle, and reason and sanity may prevail. the husband, if the husband and wife are quarreling and there is quarrel, the fight is in full gear and full flow, then it is advisable to leave the house for that time, but not issue divorce. I am taking so much of time so that this calamity that has reached us of divorce, every year we are hearing this. The fatwa departments, the iftar departments are loaded, inundated with queries of divorce upon divorce. Why? Because we are not following the simple laid out proceedings as requested by the Sharia. So, what we should do is to get elderly, responsible people involved from both sides, the husband and the wife. And when these personnel are called in, they should be very confidential. They should not say, okay, I'm going now to solve so-and-so's marital problem. So the whole neighborhood knows now. Now is a step to contact the alim who performed that nikah, number one. Or if the husband, he knows his local imam, then he must address his problem there and let the local imam and let the local alim get involved. The wife, via her father, should also consult to the ulama how to resolve this problem, how to resolve this difficulty. Then the ulama must come in. However, here, when there is arbitration going on, or mediation going on, so that some solution can be found between the husband and the wife who are quarreling, then the laws of hijab must be maintained. It must not so happen that here comes the mediator who is mediating between the husband and the wife, and he runs away with the wife. It has happened, and it is happening in this world, that the so-called arbitrator comes in to resolve the marital problem, and instead of solving the problem, he adds fuel to the fire, and then there is separation, and eventually down the corridor of history you find that he wants to marry that woman. Even if it be the alim, the local alim, he is not above the law of Sharia. So when there is reconciliation taking place, and when there is negotiation taking place, then the laws of hijab and the laws of parda must be maintained. Immediately when you have reconciliation and when you have negotiation, and at the outset if you have the laws of hijab in place, then you are drawing the mercy of Allah. You are drawing the barakah of Allah. You are drawing to the fact that you want a Shari solution, you want an Islamic solution. Not that you have all ladies and men get together, and the young husband and the young wife get together, and over dinner all sit together on the dinner table and decide to solve this marital problem. It doesn't work like this. Instead of solving, there are more difficulties. So first of all, we must know that the mediating committee, the arbitrating committee, and the negotiating committee, they must observe the laws of hijab and parda to the utmost. And especially when there is an alim involved, when there is a imam involved, when there is a sheikh involved, when there is a maulana involved, when there is a mufti involved, then respect the laws of hijab, respect the laws of parda, then automatically the quick solution, because you are drawing from the mercy of Allah by adhering to His commands, we will have a solution. Now, when there is no solution, unfortunately, we tried everything, mediation, arbitration, we tried negotiation, we have tried separation of beds, we have tried advising, we have tried, okay, you go tell the wife, go to your home for a while, your mother, father's house for a while. You tried house separation, that is also not working. You got responsible members in, that is not working. Now at the last resort, remember there are so many now steps I have gone through. But now if you look at the divorce that's going on in our community, in our areas, in our locality, that who goes through all these proceedings? We just get angry, the husband gets angry, full of rage over sometimes petty issues. He even may have a valid reason, but he just gets up and he divorces. When he finishes divorce, then he runs around now. Now he runs from this Jamiat office to that Jamiat office. Then he will run from this alim to that alim. And then he will even go to non-ulama. And he will go to those who say, listen, we know about the Quran and the Hadith. And he will go to those people who will make some weird interpretation so that they'll say, no, we are very good people. We understand you really never meant it. And there is no divorce. So the person, the husband, will go from pillar to post, from office to office, and in the end he will not worry the least where he's getting his ruling from. He will not worry where he's getting his fatwa from, as long as it suits him now. Now when he is cooling down and he realizes, I did the wrong thing by divorcing, I did the wrong thing by uttering the divorce, I have committed an error by saying the words divorce, now he goes and gets a fatwa in his favor, and then he lives his life of sin. He lives his life of sin, and the sin is upon him himself, because he did not go to the reliable, pious, righteous ulama, but he went to some so-called backstreet mechanic to get his fatwa to suit his way of life, and now he is steeped in sin, living in sin. And there are so many who have taken these fatwas, who have taken these rulings, and who are living in sin, unfortunately. Now, respected listeners, proceeding to some of the technicalities of divorce. Basically, divorce will mean separation. Separation of the marriage contract or invalidation of the marriage contract. The husband invalidates it by issuing a statement by saying that he is divorcing his wife. A person says to his wife, I divorce you. A person says to his wife, I divorce you. Now this is a clear statement. There is no ambiguity in the statement. There is no multi-meaning in the statement. There is no dual meaning in the statement. He's clearly stating to his wife, I divorce you. So in light of Sharia, we call this a Sari divorce. Sari, clear, non-ambiguous. So this divorce, for example, a person says this. He says to his wife clearly, and if he says it once, he says to his wife, I divorce you. So that means one bullet he has fired. One divorce has occurred, has taken place. Now if a person uses such words which are ambiguous, which have got dual meaning, which are not clear, the text of the wording is not clear. A person says to his wife, pack up, go to your mother's house. Or if a person says to his wife that, get out of my house. If a person says to his wife, go to your father's house. Or if a person says, go, don't come back. Or if a person says, go, never come back. And unfortunately, I am saying it very decently. What happens here, that a person just does not say, go to your mother's house. Between the two goes, there is so much of flowery language that the dictionary cannot hold. And then he uses such words that even I think his grandfathers don't know about it. And he swears in so many different languages, it is unreal. This happens also when a person is fasting. In the month of Ramadan too, unfortunately, when the fast gets a person, and then his sugar goes up, or his pressure goes up, and then he begins to get angry, then he uses such flowery language, it's unreal. Yeah, in this case of divorce, then also, because he's angry with his wife, he's full of rage, but he is in his senses, that's why he's swearing, and then he says to his wife that you go, and then he uses a lot of words, and he says, go to your mother's house. Yeah, because he did not use the words divorce directly. So we will leave the matter in his hands. He, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will tell the Mufti and he will tell his alim what he meant. Because he did not use clear words. He has used ambiguous terminology. Because he used ambiguous terminology, so what he did, he has left it upon his intention. So if a person told his wife that go to your mother's house, and he did not have any intention of divorce, he was not thinking of divorce, he was not having any idea that he was to divorce his wife, he just wanted to warn her, or he wanted to send out a severe, strong signal that watch out, that go to your mother's house, or go to your father's house, go to your brother's house, pack up and leave. And in his mind, he and his heart, he had no idea that he wants to divorce her. He had no intention that he wants to divorce her. Then there is no divorce. Provided that when he was using those words, those indirect, ambiguous words, there was no idea of divorce. But if he had intention of divorce, he had intention of divorce, whilst using these ambiguous words, and he was meaning divorce, although he did not say the word divorce, but he, in his mind, he had, I am going to divorce her, I want to divorce her, I intend divorcing her, and then he issues or utters or says these words, then we say one divorce has occurred. One divorce has fallen. But in the terms of Sharia, because this is not a clear divorce, because it is not direct, it is not categorical, then we say that this is kinaya. This form of divorce is kinaya, meaning that it is ambiguous. The words used have got dual meaning, multiple meaning, or various meanings. So it depends on the sayer of the words. That means the husband. It depends on him whether he intended divorce. If he intended divorce, then divorce falls. If he did not intend divorce, then there is no divorce. However, the end result, although in the first case where it was sari, the person said to his wife, I divorce you, one divorce. But we call that raji, talaq-e raji. But in the case of ambiguity, where there was kinaya, and the person told his wife that pack up and go to your mother's house, and he meant he had intention of divorce, then there is one divorce, and in the terms of Sharia, this is talaq-e bayn. Now the difference between talaq-e-raji and talaq-e-bayn. First of all, a person, let's say he issued one divorce and now he regrets it. Whether this person issued one sari divorce, that means he issued one clear divorce, or whether this person issued one kinaya divorce, one ambiguous divorce. Now this person, after the dust has settled and sanity begins to prevail, and now he realizes what he has done, and on issuing of the talaq, then technically speaking, his wife has to now go into iddat. Iddat means that she must go into waiting period. She must stay in the home. And the iddat period for a divorced woman is the expiry of the third menstruation period, meaning that she must have three hayz, meaning that she must have three monthly periods, meaning that she must have three menses. Then her iddat is over. So when the husband issued this talaq, this one talaq, then the lady, the wife, has to sit in iddat. But now the husband regrets it. He is in grief, he is sorrowful. He wants his wife back. He wants to take her back. He wants to reconcile. So the easy method is that the husband must behave with his wife like how a normal husband behaves with his wife. When he behaves like how a normal husband behaves with the wife, then the result will be she automatically comes into his wedlock. She automatically comes into his wedlock. There is no need for a fresh nikah, or there is no need for renewal of nikah. Remember, he gave one talaq, now he is regretful, he wants to take her back. So he behaves with her like how a normal husband behaves with his wife. There is no need for fresh nikah. The nikah is intact. However, remember, he has used one talaq. He has got only two left. Because he has taken her back as his wife, does not mean now he has got three talaqs now again. He has used one talaq. That is why in the initial stages I mentioned clearly that the husband has got a revolver which has got three live ammunition. So when he has used one, he has spent one, then he has got two left. And because he has got two left, so he should be more cautious. At this stage, Brother Yusuf, you want to come in, you understand what is happening.
Jayvana, it's quite a bit to take in. I think we've been speaking for just on about an hour now. And I think our listeners are so glued to the radios that the phone is a bit out of reach. But inshallah, we will be continuing this topic in a fortnight. Why don't you round off maybe quickly what we've discussed?
Yes, I will try to round off. And first of all, I must say clearly again that divorce, talaq, is permissible. But it is not the best of things in the light of Shariat. And because our deen is practical, a deen is complete, therefore there is a way out for that marriage which is not compatible. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a way out. However, I've explained in detail that the talaq must not be issued. First of all, there should be a lengthy procedure, briefly consultation, negotiation, mediation, arbitration, reconciliation. Both parties should come together, representative from both parties should come together, advise those who are involved. The local imam should be called in. Laws of hijab must be maintained. Those who sign the nikah register book must come in. The witnesses, the wakil must come in. Try to find some solution, some sensible solution. Most of the divorces that are given, unfortunately these days, are due to petty, silly reasons. And I must emphasize that do not use talaq as a first resort. This is a last thing. And when issuing talaq, only issue one talaq. Because the work one talaq does, it is the same which three does. So do not spend all your three, only use one, so that you can have room for negotiation. Secondly, my advice goes out to those who are going to get married, that know the rights of the husband and the wife, and the respectable mothers should teach their children, especially their youngsters, that they have got a responsibility and a duty to fulfill. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب.
I think we've got one caller online. What comes out quite clearly, and I think you spoke about, you referred to mothers treating their sons. You said what cotton wool, very fragile, so to say. I think if they can learn responsibility before marriage and a bit of independence, I think that also goes a long way in trying to assist in the marriage. Mona, do we have one call there? No.
Definitely, I'm happy you bring up this point again, that the mother and the father, they should bring up their youngsters so that they can stand on their feet and solve the problems, and they can understand what is the responsibility of marriage, understand what it is to look after a wife, and they must understand that they are going to be caring for someone else's daughter. Just as when there is someone, a daughter coming in their home, or when they give out of their daughters, what concern they have, they should also have this all around. So we should always remember, we should try to resolve the problems and use the institution of talaq only after all the proceedings have been gone through.
We've got one question. It's a sister who says, in anger, three talaqs are given at once. Is this talaq valid?
First of all, we have to understand that talaq is generally given in anger. Talaq is not given when in happiness and joy, and when a person is having good time, or when a person is having a good marriage. Talaq is not given that time. Talaq is generally given when there is dispute, when there is quarrel, when there is rage, when there is anger. So talaq given three times is counted as three. And that is what we call talaq al-mughallaza, and there is separation of the husband and the wife, and the wife must sit immediately for iddat.
Got a caller online. It's a sister. Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You're on air. You can ask Mufti sir.
Maulana, I didn't understand one thing properly. When Maulana said, if the husband says, get out of my house, does that also mean talaq?
When the husband says...
When he says a word in anger, that
yes,
he says, get out of my house, so does that also mean talaq?
I explained that when the husband says, that get out of my house, and he does not have intention of talaq, then there is no talaq.
Oh.
But if he is warning his wife, or he is sending out a strong signal against his wife, and he says this to admonish her, then there is no talaq.
Okay, JazakAllah. Wa alaikum salam. I think that anger one comes up quite often, and we use it as an excuse. I think as men we use it as an excuse quite often. And again we come back to a situation, and I think you stressed on this communication between the husband and the wife in situations of separation, that everybody else knows about it but not the parties that are involved. And I think that's something we lack. We don't talk to each other enough.
Definitely what you are saying is correct, that the disputing party, the husband and the wife, must sit down, discuss the issue before taking it out onto the road, before phoning around, before getting others involved. The more people get involved, the more complicated the issue becomes, because now there'll be, you said this and I understand this, you are saying this, you mean this, what you are saying I don't agree with. So when you have two people, you got less text to go through, and when you got four people, now you got more words to analyze. And then when you get very clever people involved trying to solve problems, they complicate it sometimes instead of resolving the problems.
Yeah, most definitely. And we've got one caller online who's up. While Morana tries and get that person onto the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
You'd like to stay anonymous, brother?
Ji.
Okay, you can go ahead. You on air?
I'm on air.
Ji.
Assalamu alaikum. Respected brothers and mothers in Islam. I want to remain anonymous, but I've got a message to pass. May Allah Ta'ala, all those who are thinking of divorce, concentrate on what I have to say. I'm 72 years of age, and due to my wife's temperament, I divorced her 10 years ago under the advice of the leading ulemas of South Africa. One alim who is on Channel Islam advised me this thing, that give only one talaq. You will never know, after a few years you might want to remarry again. With the result, I took his advice, and I only had to divorce my wife on the grounds of temperament. I can tell you today what divorce means. It's so difficult. My son cannot adjust. He's 32 years of age, and my other children cannot adjust. And I took advisors from Ulema of Medina, and I first of all appeal to my brothers that whenever there's a case of divorce, immediately go to an alim. Don't even think of giving one divorce. I'm regretting today I never got married, but with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since I consulted ulamas who are the inheritors of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've got saved from every kind of temptation, that I left my TV out, I left my radio out, and I'm reading just Islamic books, which has saved me. The most important thing, even to ulema, as the alim has said, that whenever you consult a woman, none of us is Yusuf alayhi salam. We must always be in parda and follow the sharia. Barakat lies there. Because we have got cases where the ulamas have fallen in love with a woman when there was no parda. Let me be very clear. Every alim knows when I say we are not Yusuf alayhi salam. To the Mufti Sahib, Mufti Ilyas, I'll give him my address. I want to save everybody's divorce in South Africa. Mufti Sahib can give my name, and I can tell you the experience, the reality of life that I'm going through at the moment. Inshallah, you'd be blessed. I'll give Mufti Sahib, and I'll give you practical. I've gone through reality of life. Today, I'm presenting everyone who's getting married a booklet, A Gift to Husband and Wife, which has been written by Maulana Ashraf Thanvi, rahmatullah. I've read various books on marriages in Islam, but this is the finest book I've given to young people, and they appreciate so much. So anybody who cannot afford, I'll gift a gift of a book by Maulana Ashraf Thanvi, A Gift to Husband and Wife. I would like to, then afterwards, I'd like to speak with Maulana Mufti Sahib in private over the phone, if it is possible.
You can call into our studios on 854-7022. And
I'm just taking my pen. I'm a bit excited. 854-7022. 7022. Right.
Jazakallah.
Right. Wa'alaikum salam.
Some words of anything you want to comment from other brothers?
It is important, the elderly gentleman, what he has stated, and he is regretful what has happened in his life. However, the advices are clear that divorce, as we've been saying, should be the last resort. And as he has also correctly said, which we have been repeating over there, that the negotiating parties, they should maintain the laws of hijab and parda while doing the negotiation. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to understand what has been said and also to make amal. And if we can achieve only one thing tonight, if anybody is having difficulty, please do not divorce. Go through the proceedings that we have stated and then go forward in life.
Jazakallah. And I think we've taken up quite a bit of time. And inshallah, we will continue with this program in the fourth night on the topic of talaq. And if you have any queries that you have and you'd like Mufti Saab to address them, you can always fax it to the radio station within the course of the week on 854-702-405. Inshallah, we will pass it on to Mufti Saab so that when he comes to the program, he has analyzed the problem and can go on air with it. And from myself, Yusuf Asmawji, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.